I'm preaching from here. This is not a normal thing. These are not normal times, right? This is being live streamed, so I don't want to come down there and all of a sudden just disappear from the screen. So literally, hello to the literally tens of people watching right now. It's great to see you. Hope you're doing well. Stay safe out there, all right? Not a normal time, right? And this whole crisis is forcing some things upon us, right? Just look around, right? There's less people here, obviously. You are the few, the proud, the brave, right? And just good to pray with you. But we have disruptions, and they're coming our way, right? Disruptions in everyday life, in school, in work, play, entertainment, changes at the mass. So every level is going to be touched in some way for some time. And I just want to say, like, this is reality, right? This is a reality. It is surreal, and that word literally means beyond reality, surreal, but it is very real. And it's going to be around for a while, okay? So we need to settle in to a different reality. It's one that's going to shake us, and then it's also going to reveal some things in us. It's going to reveal our character and our substance. And for us, it's going to reveal some things about our faith. So shaking is not always a bad thing, especially in the spiritual life, because we spend a lot of time building facades. And every now and then, the Lord has to shake us. And he shakes the world. And those things that are not of him come crumbling down. And then what's left is what is real and true, what is lasting. And in particular, this whole scare right now is going to shake some of the comfortable myths we prefer instead of the realities we're called to live in. And in that, it shatters a very particular myth, and that is that we are in complete control of our lives, that we can do whatever we want, whenever we want to. Most of the modern and postmodern project has been built upon that particular foundation. And that includes a rejection of our creatureliness and the limitations that come with it. We think that we can call all the shots, that we decide everything, and that ultimately we're in charge. But that simply isn't reality, is it? It never was. And it certainly isn't now. So we're confronted with a reality that can scare us and is certainly very uncertain. And the truth is, we're actually very vulnerable and we're also very dependent, huh? We're vulnerable and we're dependent. If we can remember that in the midst of this, then there's some good that's going to come. I want to speak a little bit to people's fears. So fear is an understandable emotion right now. It's not wrong to have fear. It's not wrong to be afraid. It is wrong, however, for people of faith to let fear drive the ship. So courage, friends. Courage is not the absence of fear, but the willingness to do what is right and what is necessary even while we're afraid. So we ask the Holy Spirit to give us one of his sevenfold gifts, courage. So we pray for that. We pray for that, not just for ourselves, but for the world, especially for those who are really afraid. And we also pray for trust. And trust is the great antidote to fear. Where's our trust right now? Have people brought this to the Lord? Do we trust in him? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. That's Proverbs. Where's our trust? How's our trust? The situation that is going to unfold in the weeks and months to come is going to push. It's going to push us. And that's why we need to have trust in the Lord, to really truly believe that we're not alone in this, but that he is with us in the midst of these realities. And so we're going to be pushed. And the pushing is going to happen two ways. We're going to be pushed beyond ourselves, and then we're also going to be pushed within ourselves. So to be pushed beyond ourselves. We have to think of other people in this. Almost everybody here is young. You have very little personally to be afraid of. However, there are people you know and love who are vulnerable and who are at risk. And so we have to think beyond ourselves in terms of how our actions can impact others. And that's where sacrifices are going to need to be made, right? Your personal comforts, your preferences, some of your freedoms, all of that needs to be offered. And by the way, let me give you just a good old school phrase. Your grandparents would know it well. Offer it up. Offer it up, Catholics. It's Lent, for crying out loud. Offer it up. When you're annoyed because this thing or that thing got changed, when you're annoyed when 75,000 emails come flooding into your inbox, right? When you're frustrated because you can't do the thing you really want to do and this thing that you're hoping isn't going to happen, offer it up. Offer it up. Make it a spiritual offering back to the Lord and let him do what he wants to with it. Because there are people out there who are really suffering, really afraid. Think of other nations. Think of Italy. Think of Spain. It's coming to the U.S. There are people who are really afraid and really scared. And there's people who are going to lose loved ones and they're going to be hurting and suffering. And so make your personal inconveniences useful and even powerful by turning them into a spiritual offering. Offer it up. Now here's the other thing. To go within ourselves, to be pushed within ourselves, to go deeper into our own souls, into where we ultimately find our security, into hopefully our relationship with the Lord. And that's where the second reading for tonight is really helpful. So it comes from Romans 5. Unfortunately, for whatever reason, whoever's in charge of editing these texts for the lectionary clipped the best part. So the full reading is this. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. And this is the part that got clipped. Not only that, but we even boast of our afflictions, knowing that affliction produces endurance, and endurance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. We boast of our afflictions, knowing that afflictions produce endurance, and endurance proven character, and proven character hope. Our afflictions, for you, probably very minor. For others, very significant. When brought to the Lord, produce endurance. The Italians have a phrase for a tough man, and they say he's un uomo duro. Un uomo duro. Endurance means to go into hardship, to be hard, to be tough, right? And then we have proven character. And only if we go into the hardship do we get proven character. That's why this will reveal something about us, our spiritual substance, our character, who we are, what we're really all about. And then proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint. In the ancient church, the symbol for hope, it's to the current church, the contemporaneous church as well, the symbol for hope is an anchor. An anchor. To be anchored in the time of storm. That's hope. It's not mere optimism. It's not like, oh, I hope it works out. No, hope is a theological virtue wherein we entrust ourselves to the goodness of God and we trust in him. We have hope in him. Hopefully, pun intended, this reveals that we have more hope than we realized. that our hope is really in the Lord and not in the securities of this world or the comforts of this world, because they will all pass away. Whether through this crisis or through something else, everything in this world passes. And God and his love alone remains. See, one of the things this virus has revealed is how interconnected the world really is. On the downside, we can pass a contagion literally across the world like a wildfire to one another, quickly and easily. On the bright side, and there is a bright side, we can also share grace and blessing. We are, as St. Paul says, one body in Christ. So listen now, even though we are going to have to socially distance ourselves, gosh, who even thought that was a phrase like 2 weeks ago? Even though we will socially distance ourselves, we can remain spiritually united. In fact, we can even get closer in the only way that matters, in and through our Lord. See, wherever we are physically, we can unite in prayer. And that happens at every Mass that's celebrated, whether you're allowed to be here or not. Every Mass that's celebrated, you are connected to it and the graces that flow to our brothers and sisters suffering in Italy or in China or wherever. We are united to them in and through Jesus. So as much as coronavirus is a reality, so too is our oneness in Jesus Christ. And he is with us in all things. And we are connected to one another through him, with him, and in him. So I said earlier, this new reality is going to shake us. And in that, it will also reveal some things about our character and our substance. I hope it also reveals something about our faith. So if the reality of these days shakes us in many ways, may it also reveal in us something much deeper, deeper than anything this world can offer. Hope in Jesus Christ. Faith in him who is with us in all things. This is a time to live that deepest reality. Amen.